Start your day the other way, Rabbi Tzvi Geffen.
Good morning, good morning. Good Chodesh from Selenatze, good Chodesh. It's a Rosh Chodesh of Shavat, which is Shnishma Basuras Tovis. We should be zeichet to hear some good news this month. And Rosh Chodesh Tovis, Shavat, Rosh Chodesh Shavat, and there's also some deeper words into Shnishba Besoros Tovos, which we're going to get to at the end, unbelievable Bnei Sascha. So I'd like to start with an unbelievable Alter Mekel, which I saw in the Sif Seichaim, which we'll start with, and then we'll develop the idea a bit more. The Pasha, the end of the last week's Pasha ended off with Moshe Rabbeinu Kav Yochel complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Lama Hareis Lama Zeh. You sent me to go and carry out your word. I went to Paray, and what happened? I came back, and Paray made it more difficult for Klal Yisrael. You made it more difficult. You made it harder for Klal Yisrael. They had to start gathering and finding their own straw. So Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He judges Moshe Rabbeinu very, very harshly for those words, for complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says in the Psukim, at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak el Yaakov ve'el Shaddai, v'shmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, I appear to the other, he says, Ani Hashem, v'shmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. Yes, I spoke to the others, but Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. They never knew the Shem Hashem. What was the Shem Hashem that they never knew? The Ramban and Rashi, they both ask. That we know about Yaakov Avinu. What happened? That Kadosh Baruch Hu sees them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the famous dream of Yaakov, he says, Ushmi Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu meets Yaakov Avinu. So what does it mean Hashem says, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem? Of course he met them. Of course he spoke to Avram, of course he spoke to Yitzchak, of course he spoke to Yaakov. So what does it mean, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem? So the Ramban over here, right, he says that it was a lower level of prophecy, of Nevuah, when he spoke to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he promised Avram Avinu that you're going to become into a great nation, and your kids are going to be like the stars in the Shemaim. And what happens? He sees two sons, one of them is Yishmael. He only sees Yitzchak. He doesn't see great nations come out of his children. Yitzchak, again, he's promised the great nation, and who does he see? He sees of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was also promised greatness. And what happens? He ends up without a Yosef for many years, and he goes down to Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he was going to go back into Eretz Yisrael, and what happens? He doesn't end up going into Eretz Yisrael. So they never saw the fulfillment of the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them. That was the Shmi Hashem le Nadati lehem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that you will see the end of the prophecy. You will see how my Nevuah will finally come true and you'll end up going into Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still not happy with what Moshe Rabbeinu complained about. He's still not happy with the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to him. So the pasuk carries on. The pasuk says, "Chen Omer Livnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, Boitzesi Eschem, Mitachah Sivrit Mitzrayim." This is Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did you make it so difficult? So what's Hashem's answer? Hashem says, "Go and tell Klai Yisrael, I'm going to take them out, Mitachah Sivrit Mitzrayim, from the hardship from Mitzrayim, Vitzati Eschem, Avodoso Vagati Eschem, Bezroi Netuya. I'm going to take them out with great miracles, and Kachti Eschem Lelom, the four Rishonim of Geula, the five Rishonim of Geula, Veveischem Eloitz Hashem Nosati Esyodi Nosei Soisa." And I'm going to take them to this great land. So the answer of Kelm, he asks three questions. The first question, he says, what sort of nechama was that to Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael is suffering in Mitzrayim. They've already heard Moshe Rabbeinu go and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you out in last week's parasha. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you made it more difficult. So what at this point should HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have at least said some sort of simon that where we're going to go out. He asks, "Is it psichas Pesach? It's going to become easier right now. It should become easier right now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say that. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that you're going to go out one day. You're going to go out. Don't worry, you're going to go out. So the Art of Kelmi asks, why didn't right now HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them some sort of simon of the Geula? He doesn't give that. All he says is, don't worry, one day you're going to go out of Mitzrayim. That's the first question. The second question is, he says in last week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron to go to Pari. Go to Pari. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hem lo yaminu li, V'yishma b'kai, they're not going to listen to me. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I should go to Klal Yisrael, I should speak to them, they're not going to listen to me, I'm Aras V'saim, I can't speak clearly. And then Hashem says, I want you to go to the house of Pari. Go to Pari's palace. So he goes into Pari, so Moshe and Aaron go into Pari's palace. Now the Yalkut Shemaini tells us, it was a whole meister going into Pari's palace. It wasn't just like, just strolling into Pari's palace. It was a whole story over there. The Yalkut Shemaini says that there were 400 bodyguards at the entrance to Pari's palace. They were all closely, it was all guarded. They had these wild beasts, lions and tigers. And these lions and tigers themselves were made even more powerful by the Khatumim, by the sorcerers of Mitzrayim. And they pass through this first barrier that really only anyone can ever get through a special invitation. And Moshe and Aaron walking through that palace, walking through that main entrance, and the wild beasts surround them, and instead of tearing them apart, they start licking them, and they escort them closer into Pari's palace. And then they get in, and there's another 1,000 warriors, this is what the Medrash explains. And Moshe, and as they arrived in front of Pari, there was such a light coming from Moshe and Aaron that Pari over there, surrounded by all his ministers, was in awe of all the light that he was seeing. And then they tried to release the two most ferocious of beasts to Moshe and Aaron, and they saw they didn't do anything. They didn't attack them. And there's like an incredible respect there for Moshe and Aaron. And Pari, he's so overcome by what he's seeing. He says, what do you want? Like, I'm here for you. Like, I'm over here to serve you. So the Art of Kelmi asks, really, it should have been the other way around. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to prove to Klal Yisrael that one day you're going to get out, that one day Moshe is going to take you out of Mitzrayim, then let Klal Yisrael see what's going on in the palace. Let them hear about Moshe now walked straight into Pari, and once they hear about that, then of course, they're going to listen to him. Like they heard about Moshe and Aaron, they were able to walk into a palace. So they're going to listen to Moshe and Aaron if Moshe goes and promises them that they're going to leave Eretz Yisrael one day. It's question number two. The third question, he answers at this. Answers the Saba of Kalm. He says that in last week's parasha, the Pasuk says, V'achri bo Moshe Aaron. Once Moshe and Aaron have been. So the Sab of Kelmi asks, where had they been? Why was that the Tanai for them to leave Mitzrayim? So the Sab of Kelmi answers something unbelievable. He said, the Zchus for Moshe and Aaron to have the Koyach to enter into the palace. The Zchus of Klal Yisrael to be redeemed from Mitzrayim would only happen when first Klal Yisrael had their emunah. Which means they first had to have their emunah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only then would Moshe and Aaron have the power to be able to go into the palace. Only then would Hashem say, now you can leave Mitzrayim. It couldn't happen before. They wouldn't have been able to go into the palace without first Klal Yisrael believing in Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe and Aaron had to first go to Klal Yisrael. They had to believe in Moshe and Aaron. And once they believed in Moshe, once they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Havtacha, that they would leave Mitzrayim, then Hashem said, now the Geula can begin. The Geula can only begin once Klal Yisrael believe there can be a Geula. Once they believe there's Vayer Vayibayke, then there's a chance for Klal Yisrael to be Nigal. That Yid has to have the Emunah. That even though there's a Cheshech right now, but there's the Oira afterwards. Vayer Vayibayke. There's a light that can come after the darkness. Just off the top of my head, it came to my head, so I guess I should say it. We say the first bracha in the morning is There's a bracha that we say that the rooster can tell the difference between the day and the night. So I saw from one of the Rosh Shivas of Meir a couple of years ago. What's the bracha of Hanois and Nesechli? That the rooster can see the difference between daylight. Okay, sure. So the first one would be that I can wake up in the morning and distinguish between day and night. But I saw, I don't know where he bought it from. He said that what's the rooster able to see? What's the rooster's defining quality? That even though it's so dark, they are able to see already the first ray of light. And that koyach is the bracha for yid. To have the emunah that even though it's choshech, even right now there's a darkness, it's the ability to be able to see the light. So you have to see right now, even though it's all choshech, that there's an oyer at the end. That there's a geula that Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting to bring. And that was a tenai for Klal Yisrael, that in order for Mashiach, for them to get out of Mitzrayim, in order for them to leave Mitzrayim, they had to have the emunah first, to give that koyach, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, for Moshe and Aaron to go to the palace. He brings the Sephardim. The Sephardim says, just to read the word, Vidatem, Hikiru v'isboinunu, Shukol ze yisames. Everything I'm saying, yisames, is going to come true. Ki ani Hashem elekeichem amoytzi. Mashkiach aleichem beprat. I'm mashkiach aleichem beprat, individually. V'ani hamoytzi, I'm the one who's going to take you out. U'mishtadel ato loitzi achem. Ein sofek she'ese kol ma she'omarta. That the job of the Yidam was right now in this moment, to have the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take them out. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was Hashem upset about with Moshe? Moshe was the shepherd, the Roi Yisrael. He's the Roi Yitzoyin, he's the faithful shepherd. Every leader is supposed to go to the one above them and stand up for their people. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu done wrong? He goes to Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, there's something wrong going on over there. But he was doing what was right. What is right is to go and stand up for your people. That's his job. Hashem says, I hired you for this job. I hired you to come and complain to me. So what was wrong with what Moshe did when he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we go through the Shvatim, let's look at the Shemus in this week's parasha. A couple of psukim later, when we're trying to get the lineage of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, "Ela Roshe Beis Avoyson Bnei Reuven Bnei Shimon VeEla Shemois Bnei Yisrael." Ela Shemois Bnei Yisrael. So the Mefarshim may ask, starts off Bnei Reuven Bnei Shimon, and it gets to Levi, and it says VeEla Shemois Bnei Levi. Why does it go to Shemois when it talks about Bnei? When it talks about Levi, all the others are Bnei Reuven Bnei Shimon. When it comes to Levi, it says Shemois. So the Medrash tells us that Levi wasn't enslaved. They weren't enslaved in Mitzrayim. Now why weren't they enslaved? Agav, I saw that Levi was the last of the Shvatim to die. And therefore he was still living in a generation and was able to give advice to his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, don't get involved. I can see what Pari is trying to do. He's telling you to start working. He's got a plan. So what did he tell them to do? He told them, tell them you're a key worker. What's a key worker? Tell me you're learning. You're learning. That's what your job is. And because you're learning, I won't do any building. And Yosef had already set up in Mitzrayim that anyone who was working for, working for the cloth, was working as a religious leader, he wouldn't have to work in Mitzrayim. Ada Yom Hazeh. And Pari kept that. Now why did Pari keep the law in the land that a person who's a religion, a minister of the religion of the country, why did he keep it? So Rashi tells us, because Pari saw, this is unbelievable Havana, in what Pari was doing, something psychological. Pari understood that in the Mazalas were told, the astrologers saw, that the leader would come from Shevet Levi. They wouldn't manage to be able to kill the leader of Klal Yisrael, but the leader would come from Shevet Levi. So what? So he said, a leader, who would be able to take them out? Who would be able to understand the pain of what the people are going through? Only someone who's in the same situation. And therefore he wanted to stop Moshe from being in the same situation as Klal Yisrael. Because when he's not in the same situation, he wouldn't understand the pain. He wouldn't push himself to try and save Klal Yisrael because he doesn't understand the pain. What he didn't realize is that Moshe Rabbeinu, he is Vayotze Lechov. He didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu would go so far and go lift up the boulders, even though he didn't have to. Even though he's part of Sheva Levi, he still went and empathized and sympathized for Klal Yisrael so much that he felt their pain. He went and lived amongst his brothers. That's why he was able to be there for them. What goes on over there is sometimes, you know, you go to people going through challenges, you know, some people say, no, I really understand what you're going through. Don't ever say that. You know, because we don't really understand what a person is going through. We're not in their situation. We can understand, you know, I was once, a friend of mine was once talking to a big crowd of, it was at Shabbaton for families who hadn't had kids. And he said, listen, I don't really understand what you're going through. And they said the biggest nechama they got was that, even though I don't understand, I want to try and understand. But no one should try and say to someone else, I understand what you're going through. Because we don't. It's like when you go to a shiva, you're not supposed to say anything. You're supposed to wait for them to speak. Because the biggest nechama is silence. It's to be there for them, not to say that I understand what a person's going through. Just Agav, you know, my son was in hospital, like in November, he had burnt his arm quite badly. So, like, we were trying to make phone calls and make inquiries, and, you know, some people calling us up with their stories of burns, and it was very comforting to hear that people had been through the same experiences as ourselves. So one person, he said, like, you know, I had a terrible, terrible burn, and I used these creams, and over Shabbos, they got better. So I was like, this is amazing, like, I can't wait to use these creams, send them to me. So I said, tell me, like, how did you get burned? Was it with a pot noodle? Like, my son had burned himself with a pot noodle over his arm. He goes, oh, yeah, it was really bad. I was at the Dead Sea on a Friday and I got sunburned. I'm like, shkach. We're in a bit of a different situation over here, you know. But again, that gave me a different sort of nechama. It made me laugh for a moment. But they didn't listen. The pashas was, Pari thought that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be able to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu because of the hard work. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't understand them because of what they were going through. Rabbi Yashar Miller, he said this week when he was on the phone call to after the Shringa, he said that Moshe Leib of Sasev, he said that he never understood the love of Klal Yisrael until he overheard two peasants talking to one another, Ivor and Igor. And they were both Shikha. And he said one was saying to another, I insist that I love you. And the other one saying, no, you don't really love me. And they're fighting over you. You do love me, you don't love me, you don't love me. So he said he overheard, Ivan said, you know, it's not true, you don't really love me. So Igor, he said back, I swear to you, I love you with all my heart. So Ivan, he said back, if you really did, then you should be able to tell me what I'm lacking. You should be able to see what I'm lacking. The love of Moshe Rabbeinu went so far for Klal Yisrael, he was able to see what every single yid lacked. We're called Matos B'nei Yisrael. A mata is a stick. It used to be when people were frail, they had a stick to lean on. We need to be sticks for other people. We need to be able to be sticks to be able, other people can lean on us. We need to be people that people should know that they can speak to us. That's what Gershon was calling out to the Kehillah. To be able to see in other people what they're lacking. You know, people are chah. Maybe we do. People are completely overwhelmed right now in the Kehillah. It's so overwhelming for people. Some have got kids at home, some have got in the school. It's a struggle. And we need to be able to see what other people are lacking. One person that we can make a difference to and say, I'm there for you. That one message, just how are you doing? I haven't seen you in so long. Everyone's living in their own bubble, struggling with their own challenges right now. It's everywhere. But we need to be there for one another. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked to either side. And it says, V'yarki Einish, he saw that no man was there. What does it mean there was no man there? Of course there was someone there. He got reported the next day. And the Mefarshim tell us, he saw Ki Einish, there was no one willing to stand up and do something. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that said, I'm going to stand up and do something. There's something that has to be done right now. There's another yid being killed over here. I need to be there to stand up and do something about it. Even just a message, a meal, a phone call. And then Moshe Rabbeinu also davened. After each magefa, after each plague, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? He goes to Avetz HaChutza and he went and davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at a time of a magefa, it's tefillah. We need to have the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we need to have. So, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Hashem upset about? What's Hashem upset about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset about one word. Lama Horesol Omazeh. Why are you doing bad to Klal Yisrael? A leader is supposed to stand up. A leader was supposed to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and stand up for Klal Yisrael. But there's one thing he was upset about. Hashem says, you're calling it bad? You think I sent you here for nothing? I promised Avraham Avinu. Do you not see how the reason why it's got worse? There's a reason why it's got worse. The reason is because I promised, I told Avraham Avinu, I told the others that you were going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. The problem was, if you'd stay in Mitzrayim for 400 years, you wouldn't exist anymore. You'd have got to a place where there wouldn't be any more Klal Yisrael. And therefore, I have to speed up the process. How can you say, Lomar Reis, I can say it's bad. How can you say it's for no reason? You know, it took me... Yeah. Sorry. I remember when I was a young child, and it was my birthday, and an uncle had come from quite far away, and I was 8 years old, and he said that we're gonna go to Toys R Us, like amazing, like gonna go to Toys R Us. I get to Toys R Us, my eyes are wide open, you know, seeing the whole Toys R Us, and he says you can take whatever you want. We've just got a couple of minutes here, and like I grab everything I have in my arms, I go and grab. I've got like 15 presents in my arm. I take every Action Man that I can find over there, and I come home. And my mother says, what have you got? So I said, we went to the toy store. He said, I can take whatever I want. He goes, you're taking all that, you can choose one, we'll take all the rest back. I remember going upstairs, like screaming away, like, I want all 15. He told me I could take all 15. My uncle's generous. He said, I can take whatever I want. Only what I did learn at the time was, if you ever get 15 presents, open them up all at once. Then you can't send anything back. But what I did learn all those years later was that my mother was teaching me a lesson. That you can manage without everything. There was a value in what she was doing at the time. You know, just now, and again, when my son was in hospital and they had to put this like feeding tube up his nose, and he was screaming away in pain. Screaming away in pain. And the nurses, they couldn't hold him down. They were like, yeah, can you help over here? Like, he's 2 years old, we can't control him. Can you do something? So I remember I was holding his arms down, I was holding his legs down. He's looking at me, he's like screaming away. And I was thinking to myself, Mamash at that point. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu does. I had to hold him down at that point because he had to have this feeding tube, otherwise what was he going to eat? But I had to do it out of my love for him. I had to hold him tight and say, this is what you need right now. I need to hold you down. You have to have that painful tube going up your nose because this is what you have to have right now. You have to have that tube inside you. Ki'im l'kayim devarai. HaKosh Baruch Hu says, I'm fulfilling my words now to your forefathers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens is, we have to go down to Mitzrayim. We go down to Mitzrayim, and the Pashtus, if it was just for the purpose of, what was the purpose of the plagues, of the Makkos, if it was just for us to get out of Mitzrayim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu just frozen all of Mitzrayim, we all could have gone out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just bought the Makkah of Barad, flattened the whole of Mitzrayim, and brought us all out. But there was much more than that. Vidatim ki ani Hashem. Hashem had to break through the laws of nature in order for us to be able to see and witness HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could have been for the Mitzrayim, for them to be able to see that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'mat tesape ba'oznei bincha. All of that was for them to see and for us to see that we should be able to talk to our children about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we instill, everyone's wondering, how do we instill in our children emuna? How do we do it? And the answer is l'mat tesape. To continuously talk about it. To find the hashkach in our day. To be able to see moments of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvahs, the things that we did for a mitzvah, where we pushed ourselves that little bit extra for a mitzvah. When we do that, then the Ma'at HaSapa, they see the nisim inside. They see how we live. That's the Ma'at HaSapa, Bosnei Bincha. The Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, he said something, he was talking to a group of Rabbanim 2 nights ago, and he said, someone asked him a question. He said, you know, we were in Manhattan, and at the beginning of Corona, it was like total shock. The whole of Manhattan, it became like everyone was walking around frightened. So he said his sister who lives in Manhattan asked him, like, I don't understand, you know, why is it that, you know, you walk around, you know, in Fruma Kehillas, it's not that same feeling, of course, like, why is it, it's not that same feeling of frightenedness? Of course, you've got to keep to the rules and the laws, but why is it that not that same feeling of frightenedness, of being frightened? So Rabbi Waiwai, he said something, I know, it hit me. He said, how does a Yid live? Because a Yid for years, how does a Yid supposed to live? What's the way a Yid is supposed to feel and live about life? He said, the way a Yid is supposed to live is, I don't run my own life. My life isn't in control. I'm not in control of my own life. The way a Yid lived all these years was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And therefore, any situation that we're taken into, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the world. We could be thrown into this situation, we thrown into that situation. I'm being carried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he said, the world, how's the world living? The way the world was living was, I am in control of the world. It's all me. It's my business. It's my work. It's my health. I am in control of science. I am in control of the world. And therefore, the moment that the rug was pulled from away from the world, all of a sudden, everyone felt very, like, helpless. Very, very frightened. They've never been in such a situation where they weren't in control of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching the world that Ki ani Hashem. I am Hashem. That was the reaction that they were supposed to have. Tu Bishvat is a time, is when you believe that something good exists. Is when you look into the roots of the tree and you see and you're able to celebrate. You have to look inside and see. Even though it's at the bottom of that tree, the sapling is beginning to come back to life. Shenishma, shenishma v'nisbaseh b'soyros toivos. This is the way we say it. Shenishma, shenishma v'nisbaseh. What's the two lashonos of shenishma v'nisbaseh? And the idea I heard was, is that in order to be able to see something, you've got to be able to be listening to it. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always talking to us. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always talking to us in many different ways. Sometimes it's open and sometimes there's a message over there. But when we hear it, we're able to see the Basura Torah coming. We're going to be able to see one day how all the gezeiros that happened to us was within Munah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this week's parasha was telling us. That the key to the Geula was to have a Munah. The key, we had to believe already now in the Munah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's carrying us through this. That the Geula is going to come solely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, when we have that strength of Munah and Bitachon, that we don't just believe it, but we live like that. We live with that tranquility and feeling. You know, someone last week gave the example that he was once by Niagara Falls. And he davened over there. When you're witnessing the Gevurah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Niagara Falls, it's like a tremendous feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, you know, he imagined himself just lying at the top of Niagara Falls and letting go. And feeling, just floating into the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's real Emunah. So you have to be carried through your day, through moments and challenges, and feeling biyad Hashem, feeling the hands of Hashem. When a person feels that we're being carried, kum zeicha mitzvah Hashem to the good of Hashem.